God Days this week. Today we have with us a friend of mine named Karen Noe, who's recently published a new book, The Rainbow Follows the Storm. How are you, Karen?
I'm fine. How are you?
Thanks for being with us today. You might have to speak up just a little bit.
Okay.
You have a very quiet voice. Guess that's the spirit in you, huh? So tell us about your book and your experience and what happened to you.
Okay. About 10 years ago, I was feeling very sorry for myself, and I had a high fever and bronchitis, and I asked for a sign from God, from the universe. I wanted to know if I'd be okay.
You're going to have to speak up just a little bit more, I think.
Okay.
There you go.
And, well, with that, when I was asking for a sign, I saw a light coming towards me, and I said, if you're not of God, please leave. But the more I said it, the more it came towards me, and it actually came inside of me. And an incredible peace came over me. From that moment, my life really has changed for the better. And I started receiving psychic messages and messages from the angels and relatives who had crossed over to the other side.
You're still going to speak up.
Okay, that's the loudest I could talk. I'll try very hard.
Is it true? You're so quiet.
Okay.
It's just strange to hear you. So, what, you were? Was this in your sleep?
No, I was awake. It was actually the morning, and I was sitting on the bed, and I was just, you know, not feeling too well. And I spoke out loud, and I really got a message right away. So, Basically changed my life for the better.
How did it affect your life? What changes did you find yourself making?
I know that I have all the answers within me, and whereas before, I actually, I was self-centered. And now everything I do is, how may I serve? How may I serve? And people who've known me before the incident and now, they say I'm not the same person.
So you had a change in the way you perceive the world.
Yes, absolutely.
Your ego kind of dropped away.
Mm-hmm.
How does it affect your relationships with other people? How can other people look for this gift within themselves?
Yes, because we all have it. The key is to, you have all the answers within yourself. And you just have to look within. Meditation surely helps, but we really don't need to go outside for answers. The key is within yourself.
Now, do you find that when this information comes that you have to think about it, or does it come in those times in your life when you're quiet?
No, it comes when I'm quiet, when I'm not thinking about it, at the most random times and places. When I first have the experience with the light, right after that I get messages from loved ones who crossed over in the most random places. I'd be in the classroom with my son, and I'd be receiving a message from her brother, who was deceased. I'd be in the bank getting messages for people, you know, behind me and everything. And I had to learn how to turn these messages off.
How do you get these messages? How do you receive them?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
How do you receive the messages?
Okay.
Do you see a sentence in your head? Do you hear a silent voice? How does it come? In other words, if someone else wants to look for messages, how is a way they can look to find it? Because it's a subtle message, I know.
Mm-hmm. It's an inner knowingness. I can't explain it. It's it just comes to you when you need it. And people should look around them and be more aware of things around them because there are signs all over the place.
Give us some examples. Because a lot of people, They think that people that receive information are unique. And I try to tell people that we're not unique, that everybody gets it every day. They just don't know the way to look for it.
Absolutely. It's all over. I don't believe in coincidences. For example, if a car cuts you off, the first reaction of a person would be to get angry. But my first reaction is to look at the license plate. I believe it might be a message for me. And it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
It says something, maybe the bumper sticker or the license plate, something that I need to know. I mean, this doesn't always happen if somebody cuts you off, but an example like that.
Mm-hmm. And tell us some of the ways that it's affected other people's lives that have crossed your path.
People now come to me because in the beginning I was afraid to share this information with others. I didn't want them to think I was crazy because I was, you know, receiving messages from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I know to be true. I don't believe it or think it. I know it without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And people feel that when they're around me, and now they're coming to me. And so I'm told they're given a sense of peace. Today I just gave a class on angels and how to connect with the angels and our loved ones and our higher self.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone there, they all said what a peace it brought to them, knowing that they could do this themselves. It's not just me. You know, everyone has this within them.
Well, let's go back a minute to how you get this information, because I do that too, but I hear it in my head, like you hear an idea.
Yes.
You know, when you get an idea, you go, oh, my goodness, that's a great idea. You hear it verbally.
Okay.
But it's a silent hearing. Now, when you get this, do you hear a silent voice? Do you see a picture in your head? Or do you get feelings?
I get a mixture of things. There are four ways that most people get the messages, including myself. I do see pictures, which is clairvoyance, and I see them inside of myself. It's not outside.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you read a book about the Red Schoolhouse, you'll see it inside inside yourself. That's the way I get the messages. For example, I was I also do healing work, and I was working on a woman, and I saw a picture inside my mind's eye. It's always, I received the person's name who has crossed over, so I got the name Ron. And he was saying he died in a car accident, and then he showed me a picture of a boxing kangaroo a kangaroo with boxing gloves on, and I relayed the message to her, and the woman said that he boxed kangaroos in Australia. And, yeah, so it's very specific, and his name was Ron. I was her best friend who died in a car accident. So I get them in a number of ways. I do get pictures. I get feelings. Sometimes I hear an audible voice, not all the time. Most of them are telepathic messages, and I just know. People ask me, how do you know the person's name? Because the person's name mostly, 90% of the time, comes up when they come through, and I just tell them it's telepathic because they're talking to me without an audible voice.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So now, can you do this spontaneously?
I mean, no. Speaking to people who've crossed over, it's when they want to come through, not when I want them to. So sometimes people do come to me for a reading, and I don't receive anything, and I'll tell them, I'm sorry, I'm not getting anything. It's really when the person wants to connect.
Okay. Now, if I were to put you on the spot here and give you an opportunity to show the people, is there something that you can tell the people now, say something going on with me or something going on with you, or is there maybe something that comes in your head right now directed maybe to a listener?
It might be hard right now. I usually meditate before I do readings and everything to quiet myself and make myself relaxed. So I would like to have done that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the things that happened. Tell us about your book.
Okay. I decided to write the book with a strong urge, let's say, from my higher self, the angels, whatever you want to call it. I needed to write the book to make a difference. In people's lives, to make them understand that this is not all there is, that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. It's not the other way around.
Right.
And I am not a writer, and it just really flowed. As I wrote, it's divided into four parts. And the first part are stories of what happened after the light, and very specific examples. They're all documented cases, and I needed everyone's, permission to use them. And then the second part is telling people how they can also receive messages.
Why don't you share that with us today?
Excuse me?
I know everybody wants to know how to receive messages.
There's many ways to receive messages. The key, really, if you wanted to receive detailed messages the way I do, is to meditate and to quiet yourself and to relax and allow our own thoughts to get out of the way in order to receive the messages of others. Because in reality, we're all one.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're at that quiet state, you could feel the, other people's thoughts or deceased loved ones, angels. And that's a very easy way of doing that. But there are many other ways of getting messages that happen to us all the time, such as, like, if someone cuts you off, in a car to notice the license plate, or if a bird lands on your shoulder, this is not a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would take that to mean that someone's saying hello to me, or a butterfly. They come often as, ladybugs, dragonflies, and things like that. In different ways, and just to be more aware of things around you, because we are getting messages from the other side, but sometimes we're just not aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have a tech? You know, a lot of people say, I don't know how to still my mind. What technique do you do to do that?
But I would say when I first started meditating, I
Hold on just a minute. We're going to cut this out. Do you hear my doorbell ringing?
Yes, I do.
Damn it. We'll have to get my producer to cut this out.
Okay.
I don't care. I'm on the radio show. I'm going to have to get this cut out now. Be quiet. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm going to have to get my producer to cut that out.
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't remember what the question was.
The question was, do you have a technique that teaches people how to still their mind?
Okay. The easiest way to still your mind at first, when I started meditating, I couldn't, actually. I couldn't sit down and just quiet myself. So I actually listened to guided meditation tapes, which in reality, that's not meditation. But it
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Guided meditation tapes I would listen to.
Mm-hmm.
And they would teach me how to relax and how to focus on just the voice. And then there came a point where I didn't want to hear the person talking anymore, and I just needed to experience the quiet within myself. And that worked for me.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Or start staring at a candle. That's a very good way. You just stare at a candle until you can't keep your eyes open anymore, and then you close your eyes. And when you have your eyes closed, you could actually see the light or the candle in your eyelid after a few seconds. And then when that disappears, you open your eyes again, stare at the candle. And what you're doing is you're focusing on one thing without thinking, hopefully.
Tell me about some of your healing work that you do.
Healing work? I do Reiki, but when I do the Reiki, which is an energy healing, I also am receiving messages from angels, and they tell me where to go on the person.
Speak up a little bit.
Yes, the angels tell me where to go on the person, whether it be on the head or the abdomen or whatever. And when I'm doing the healing, I'm receiving messages also for the person from the other side.
And have you had? Tell me about some of your success stories.
With the healing?
Mm-hmm.
There was one woman named Stormy, who I actually named the book after. She changed her name to Rainbow at the end of her life. Yeah, and that's the title of the book, The Rainbow Follows the Storm. But she had diabetes her whole life, and towards the end, I just met her towards the end of her life. She called me, and she wanted me to do healing on her and work with the angels, and she wasn't able to walk. She was in a wheelchair. And she came to me a couple of times a month, and then it started to be every week. After a few months, she surprised me, and she got out of her wheelchair, and she walked into the office, and I just was crying. That was one of my favorite stories.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But I basically think she did that herself. Yeah, that was not me.
So you were telling me that you had four chapters, and we talked about two. What are the other chapters?
Yes, there are four parts. The first part is the stories. The second part is telling people how to. The third part are different topics, such as God, the angels, how the soul survives, a chapter on healing, reincarnation, and how we're one with the universe. And then the fourth part is a part about how peace should prevail on Earth, how we can make that happen with the changing of the mass consciousness, so just thinking of peace. And
let's
that
talk about that for a minute. What was the information you got about that? Because that is a profound topic of importance today.
About peace?
Mm-hmm.
That we really need to create the peace within ourselves first. And once we do this, then the mass consciousness will really change. If each person focuses on peace, we will create peace within the world. But we have to experience it first, ourselves, and then that will expand.
Yeah, it affects, I believe that if you generate peace within yourself and place that intent out when you come upon another, it will change their electromagnetic field and something happens there.
Absolutely.
I think that's what I think anyway.
Yes, absolutely. And if that, it's like the ripple effect, and if each person does that, that will expand instead of war.
So do you have some other experiences you could share with us?
Oh, sure. Well, I had one experience. People ask me if I get messages all the time, and that's what you asked me before. And when I told you I didn't, This is one of my experiences. One person came to me. She traveled a few hours to come to see me, and when she came to see me, I didn't receive any messages, and I just felt awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, please, you know, if you ever feel guided, you know, come back. But as of now, I'm not getting anything. I will never make it up. You know, it was, of course, there was no charge.
Mm-hmm.
And about a year later, she called me, and she said, I feel like I should come again. And as I was talking to her, I did get the feeling that this was true, that this was going to be good. And the day before the reading, I was on the baseball field with my son, and I felt a discarnate entity, someone who was crossed over next to me, and she was saying her name was Alice. So I said, oh, my goodness. So I was asking people around, do you know someone named Alice who's crossed? And I was asking everybody, and everybody said no. So I didn't know what was going on. But the next day I went to work, and my first appointment was this woman who had come a year before, and I didn't receive anything for her. And she walked in the room, and as soon as she walked in, this woman, Alice, came again, and she said, I'm with her. So I knew it was going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing she showed me was a picture of Aunt Jemima. Now, at first, I said, she's going to think I'm crazy for sure. I don't want to. After a year of waiting for messages, I don't know if I should even share this with her. But I first asked her if she knew someone named Alice, and she said, yes, that's why I'm here. That's my best friend from high school who had died. And I told her the story about the night before, you know, Alice being with me on the baseball field. And then finally I gave in, and I said, you know, she showed me a picture of Aunt Jemima. I don't know what it means. And the woman screamed, and she said, that's Alice for sure. What happened
really?
Was there was really an Aunt Jemima, a real person. And this woman, Aunt Jemima, came to their high school in a helicopter and served all the students there breakfast and then left. And every time she got together with Alice, they would say, remember Aunt Jemima.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's
it's hard to get names, so that's amazing that you do that.
Well, that's the main thing what I do, and that's what really proves to the people that it is them, you know, and
mm-hmm.
they're very unusual names. And when they come through, sometimes they even get different languages, which I don't know Japanese, but that comes through. Italian I could kind of get because my grandparents were, but sometimes I just speak in Italian, which I do not do, Spanish. And, you know, when I just
So you actually can get second languages sometimes and speak it?
Yes, absolutely. And when that happens, they know without a doubt I'm not Japanese or, you know, and very specific messages that sometimes they didn't tell anybody about, only that just they knew. And when the person comes through and says something, it's very specific such as that, and it confirms that we don't die. The body
mm-hmm.
dies, but the soul goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, how would somebody reach you if they wanted to get a reading?
Well, I basically do readings just in person for now. I know a lot of people have been asking for phone readings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much booked for many months ahead of time, but if they wanted to go to my website, it's www.lucelucina.com. That's luchalucina.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they could email me. There's an email link on that, and they could
mm-hmm.
email me.
Okay. So, have you been doing this all your life, or did it just come spontaneously?
Yes, that's funny. A lot of people ask me, well, these messages, these types of messages from the other side and from people who have crossed over and angels have just started right after that incident with the light.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, and this is embarrassing to say, but my father used to take me to the racetrack.
Your body what?
My father used to take me to the horse races, and I picked the winning horses because he said I was lucky, and my mother hated that. And I used to have dreams that would come true before anything. For example, I had a dream my cousin was going to die. She was only 36 years old and in perfect health, and I dreamt she was going to die before anybody knew she was sick and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So when it happened, had you been through, within, say, the period of, say, a year or two before that, had you been through a dark night of the soul?
Absolutely. I was.
Because I've found that most people that have some kind of spontaneous occurrence like that have been through some hell within
absolutely.
The recent past. You know, I believe it shifts their frequency some, that they, maybe they're not listening or something, so they have to go through some bad stuff to bring them back down to where they're willing to listen. What happened to you?
That is quite true. It was personal issues going on in my life, and to be honest, I didn't want to live anymore. I didn't want to commit suicide or anything like that, but I just didn't want to be here any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going through the motions, you know, day after day. And then I had this experience, and everything had changed right after that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how did your friends and your family accept it when it happened to you? Did they think you were crazy?
I didn't share it with everyone at first. I wasn't, I didn't feel comfortable doing that unless it was a very urgent message. And then I shared it with them.
Mm-hmm.
I waited for people to come to me. My close family members, such as my husband, says I'm not the same person, and I don't know if that's a good or bad thing for him, because he married someone who was quite a different person.
I know what you mean. It happened to me.
Yes.
I'm not the same person that I was either, and you can't help it.
That's right.
You just view the... I would imagine you feel this way. You view people as being souls.
Yes.
As opposed to people that, you know, random people, and you view them as being the same, and you love them all as souls rather than people walking around. Does that
Absolutely.
Make sense?
We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Exactly.
Right. And whereas before this happened, I was more into material things outside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
After this happened, I was more into experience peace within myself and promoting peace within other people. So that they could feel the same peace that I was feeling.
Do you find that the gift gets stronger as time passes?
Yes. The more I use it, the more it does get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yes.
And do you think you could expand it into doing other things, like, say, for example, medical intuition?
That's very interesting. I think I could. I think whatever we could focus on, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a few incidences where there was one missing boy, and I had been asked if I knew anything or felt anything, and I did feel he had died and where he was in the Connecticut River, and they actually eventually found him
mm-hmm.
where he was telling me. So
Amazing.
If I did something like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
would be very helpful, I think, for people.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
The way that happens. Have you been able to teach anybody else to do it?
Yes. That's one of my purposes is not to tell people what I can do, but to show them they can do the same thing. That
mm-hmm.
is a big thing I should do in my life. I just taught a class today on how to connect with the angels and our loved ones.
You're getting
soft
again.
Yeah. And when people realize, and what happens is after we meditate, I teach them how to focus, how to quiet themselves. And then after they do that, when they're at that quiet state, I ask them to break up into groups of two with somebody they did not come with and see if you receive any messages for that person, any names, any pictures. And they're so surprised when they're able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How long do you think it takes? Do you find that it takes the average person to be able to identify their gift?
Oh, most people don't realize they have a gift, and they never realize it. And I have to try to explain to them that they indeed can do it. Just, you know, everybody can play the piano. Some can play scale. Some can play wonderful pieces. The
mm-hmm.
same with this. And sometimes it takes a lot of coaxing to allow them to understand that they can do it. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes people realize they just need it to be told by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can they usually do it within a few visits, or does it take months?
It depends on the person. If they were already open to it, it's very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then others are very skeptical of themselves. They don't believe that
mm-hmm.
they can do it. Everybody else can, but they can't. And
mm-hmm.
I have to teach them whatever they believe to be true, they create. So if they believe they cannot do it, they will not be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually you have to see yourself as the person you want to become. So you have to see yourself as being able to do it, and you will be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what else can you tell the people that they can use at home?
The most important thing is to realize that the peace comes within yourself and not to look outside for any answers, really, because you have it all within yourself. And when you realize that, you're no longer a victim. you no longer say things happen to you because you know you've actually created all these things.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say this is just as I know that our soul is energy and continues after the body dies. Now, this I know to be a fact. So are our thoughts. Our thoughts are energy and create that our thoughts create. So our thoughts create. We have to be very careful about what we think about because we actually create things in our lives by our thoughts.
Have you had experience with your thoughts creating?
Oh, my goodness. I've had a couple of experiences, pretty wild ones, too. And when I tell people this and they really listen, there's one example. There's a wonderful book. It's called Ask and It Is Given. It's by Esther Hicks.
It's called what?
It's called Ask and It Is Given.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by Esther Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
And what she did was she channeled a group of angels called Abraham. And basically what the book tells you is, you know, how your thoughts create, exactly what I was telling you about. So right after reading that, I had been in my office for many years, 10 years, and I was very unhappy with the public bathroom that was in the building. So all I did was complain to myself, complain to other people, don't go in there, you know, and it was basically making it worse. So right after I read this book, I actually saw myself with my own bathroom in the building, and I saw it for a few days. I actually felt what it would feel like to have my own bathroom in the building. On the third day, I was in the hall going to the bathroom, and the janitor stopped me and said, Karen, the owner of the building, Tom Eastwick, wants to know if you wanted a key. He built a bathroom upstairs, and for some reason, he wants to know if you wanted to use it on a permanent basis. So I know I created that.
Mm-hmm.
And just as I created a positive thing, I'm sure I know I created negative things by my negative thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So we indeed can create anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing. That's
yeah.
a funny story.
Yeah.
And the janitor just come up out of the blue and say that. Had you written the manager of the building or anything?
Just to pay the rent. I pay the rent and I say hi and bye.
So he didn't realize you were complaining?
Oh, no. Oh, no. He didn't know a thing.
That's amazing.
I know.
That's funny. Well, have you met... speaking of creating, what about creating illness in your body?
Oh, absolutely, you could create illness. I say it all the time, such as when someone loves, the people who come to me, most of them have lost a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen it time and time again when they are distressed, when they're grieving, illness often appears right after that. And I have had a gentleman come to me, he lost his fiance, and within a few months, he now has MS. And the person who, his fiance who had died, willed herself to die because her son died at 3 years old. I see this all the time. So I'm very much aware of how our thoughts create, including our physical body,
mm-hmm.
and what we manifest in our bodies.
Was he able to deal with that and get rid of it, or did it progress?
Was this man?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to explain to him that he has to change his thoughts and he could actually see himself well and make himself well because I've also seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is he's giving up. He doesn't want to be here anymore. So what's going to happen? And we all know our thoughts create and he's going eventually.
Right, right.
Come.
Well, we're almost out of time. If there was one thing that you could say to the world that you think would make a difference, what would that be?
To realize that you are a spirit, you're not this body, and there's so much more out there. Look within yourself. You have all the answers within yourself, and that's all you need. And then if you create that peace within yourself, and the world will be a better place because of it.
And tell us one more time where we can find your book. And your website, one more time for anybody.
Okay, my website is www.luciina.com. My book is called The Rainbow Follows the Storm, How to Obtain Inner Peace by Connecting with Angels and Deceased Loved Ones. And you could find that at any local Barnes & Noble, Borders, or you could get it on Amazon.com.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us today, Karen.
Thank
and
you
a God
very
day
much.
To you.
Angel blessings.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.